Morning, everyone. So this morning we reached a passage in Luke where Jesus is teaching about prayer. And I know as someone who can struggle with prayer, I find it's really helpful and encouraging and just plain practical. So let's read. So this is Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
I think for most parents, one of the greatest moments is when your baby talks to you for the first time. And I think with most parents, there's perhaps a little bit of friendly rivalry sometimes to see which parent is going to get the first word. Is it going to be mum, 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 or is it going to be da, da, da? Now, apparently, da, da, da is actually a bit easier to say, so I think dads have a little bit of an advantage on that one. But it's interesting, isn't it? At one level, your babies learning to speak to their parents is one of the most natural things in the world, and something that we expect almost every child to do that. But in another sense, there's actually quite a lot of work that goes into teaching babies how to speak to their parents. And parents tend to spend hours cooing over their baby and saying, "mum, mum, mum," and "da, da, da," and trying to help them learn how to speak to them. And I think today, as we come to Jesus' teaching about speaking to our Heavenly Father, it's a little bit like that. At one level, it's the most natural thing in the world that we can do to speak to our Heavenly Father. We don't need any training to do that. We just need to know how to speak, and most of us know how to do that. And so it's very easy to speak to our Heavenly Father. And yet, in another sense, just like babies have to learn how to speak to their earthly parents, there's actually some really helpful things that we can learn about how to speak to our Heavenly Father in a way that fully recognizes the kind of relationship that he wants to have with us. And so at the start of this passage in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, Jesus is praying somewhere and his disciples are with him, and they kind of sense that there's something a bit different here, I think. They I don't know if they can hear what he's saying or if they just kind of see the way that he's praying, but I suspect they actually can hear, and that they kind of say, "Hey, we need to learn about what you're doing here." Now, it's not that the disciples wouldn't have known about prayer. The Old Testament, Jewish people prayed. The Old Testament is full of prayers. The book of Psalms is almost a whole book full of prayers that you can pray to God. But somehow, listening to this Jesus praying, they realize there's something new here. There's something different about the way that Jesus is praying. And the disciples go, "We want to get our heads around what this is." And so this disciple says to Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." One level, if you can speak, you can pray. But most people find it challenging to talk to God. Most people have a sense that if you're going to talk to someone who's the creator of the whole universe, that actually just wandering in and saying g'day, maybe you want to actually do a little bit more preparation and have a little bit of think about the kind of things that you might want to say to somebody so glorious and so wonderful. Thabiti Anyabile, he's a commentator. He actually spoke here at church a few years back. If you've been around for a while, you might remember him. But he says this as he reflects on this disciple's request here. He says, prayer is not natural. Effective prayer has to be taught and learned. There's no shame in not knowing how to pray or feeling uncomfortable in prayer. There's only shame if we don't ask to be taught and as a result spend years of our Christian lives ineffective in prayer. Yeah, there's some things to learn about talking to God. We want to make the most of this wonderful privilege that we have of coming to the creator of the universe and being able to address him and speak to him. And Jesus, he gives us a great pattern for how we can thoughtfully talk to God, this model prayer that will guide us in our own prayers. I think that's what Jesus means when he says in verse 2, he says, when you pray, say. He's not saying you have to say these exact words. You can say these exact words if you want to, and churches used to do that a little bit more, but it's not a magic spell. These exact words don't have some kind of unique power that if you say them, it'll get through to God much better. In fact, it's interesting, I was thinking about this, when you turn over to the book of Acts, which is like volume 2 of Luke's story about Jesus and the early church, there's actually quite a few prayers recorded from the early Christians, and actually you don't see any of them praying the Lord's Prayer word for word. So they obviously had heard Jesus say this, but they thought, no, you know, we can pray in our own words to God. But this is meant to be a pattern, a model. That's what Jesus means it to be. And so we're going to unpack this pattern a little bit. And the first thing that we see in this pattern is that we can address God as Father. Now, this really is something brand new that Jesus introduces into the idea of how people relate to God. In the Old Testament, as I said, people prayed, but people did not address their God as Father. Wasn't they didn't understand that God had some father-like qualities, but I think they would have thought it would be way presumptuous to come to a holy God and a powerful God and a glorious God and, you know, address him as Father. Again, when you look back at the prayers in the book of Psalms, none of them directly address God as Father. In fact, it's interesting, there is one person in the book of Psalms who does address God as Father, and that's God's Messiah, God's Savior King who is going to come. He refers to him as Father. Of course, Jesus is that Savior King that's mentioned in the Psalms, and so he comes, but he comes and he says, actually, all my people are now invited into that family relationship with God. I mean, think about the difference. If you're going to go and speak to the Prime Minister, or if you're going to go and speak to the boss, or if you're going to go and speak to your father. I think under normal circumstances, normal family relationships, there's a unique comfort, a unique security, and unique love that comes when you come to speak to your father. That's how we're invited to address God when we pray. Come and call him your father. And what are we to pray about? Well, the first thing is there are two prayer requests that are about God and his plans. First one is, hallowed be your name. And the second one is, your kingdom come. This is not just flattering God. It's not just like saying some nice things about him so he'll listen to you a bit more when you get to the stuff that you really want to say. It's actually the best thing that can happen in our world. The best outcome for all of our problems is that God is honored and his kingdom grows. So often, actually, when we start to put our own problems and our own concerns in the context of God being honored and God's kingdom coming across the world, it can actually help us to see much more clearly what God is doing in our lives and realize that He is there and He is with us, even though we may still have things that we're concerned about in our lives. You know, maybe you haven't had healing from your sickness, but maybe that sickness has made you a more empathetic person who can get alongside others. Or maybe you've been able to glorify God by having a contentment during a difficult time, and that helps His kingdom come in other people's lives. So we begin by prayer with God's concerns, praying for His name to be glorified and praying for His kingdom to come here on earth. I think that means His kingdom to spread here on earth. More and more people come to acknowledge Him as King. That's where we begin. Pray for those two requests. And then there are three requests that focus on ourselves. The first thing we pray for is our daily bread. And I think that one's probably the most simple one. It's just praying for our daily needs, the things that we need to live here on earth each day. We can definitely bring those to God. The second thing that we pray for ourselves is forgiveness of sins. It's such an important prayer request because it makes us reflect on God's grace. It reminds us that when we come to God in prayer, we're not demanding things from God that we deserve. Praying to God, it's not like writing an angry letter to your local council person about the big pothole in your street and saying, "Why haven't you done something to fix this up?" No. When we come to God, we're coming humbly. We're asking Him to be generous because we know that actually we have so many things in our lives that don't please Him. So many things that reject Him, and so we need His forgiveness for our sins, but we need His grace in whatever He's going to do for us. He doesn't owe us anything. And as we remember, as we ask God to forgive our own sins, we also remember the cost of forgiveness because we're reminded that we too should be forgiving those around us, and that reminds us when we think about how difficult we find to forgive other people, it reminds us that actually God's forgiveness of us was also costly. And so that's, I think, why we remember that as we pray. That's the second request, asking for forgiveness. The third request is that God would shield us from temptation, that He would shield us from things that will draw us away from Him. And I guess you're going to put that in the positive. You might say it's actually really a prayer that we'll follow Him more faithfully, isn't it? That we won't be tempted away from following Jesus, but actually we will live for Him more and more. And so that's the pattern that we have here. Two requests for God and His plans, and three requests for ourselves. And I guess the question that we're all invited to ask is, when you think about your prayer lives, do they match this pattern? Do they match the pattern that Jesus has given us? Perhaps this is just me, but my observation about prayers is that they can often be perhaps dominated by one of the five things, and that's the give us our daily bread request. We have a lot of things, don't we, that we think we need here on earth, so we often spend a lot of time praying for those. But perhaps sometimes the prayers for God's name to be honored, for His kingdom to come on our earth, for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be growing in our faith, perhaps those kind of prayers can just get pushed to the side a little bit. But I think this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is such a great help in bringing some balance to the things that we pray for. Martin Luther, he was one of the reformers back in the 16th century, did quite a lot of thinking about prayer, I think because one of the discoveries of the Reformation was that personal faith was a key to having a relationship with God, and that meant actually personally talking to God was really key too. You didn't need a priest, you didn't need a liturgy to come and approach God in prayer. You could actually talk to God by yourself. You could approach God by yourself, and so Luther thought a bit about what it meant to actually, have a personal prayer time. And Luther recommended that actually every day when you set aside some time to pray, you should pray the Lord's Prayer in your own words. Or As Tim Keller puts this, he says, you should riff on the Lord's Prayer. You should just think each day, where do you want to see God's name honored in the things that are going on around you? How do you want to see God's kingdom grow in the things that you know about? Sure, bring a practical need to God. Think about the sins that you've committed in the last day or two and bring them to God, and think about the temptations that you might be facing, the areas where you need to grow in your faith, and just grow through that list. Actually, Mark did a great job this morning and did exactly that, didn't he? He had a bit of a riff on the Lord's Prayer this morning, and I think that is a wonderful way to model our own prayers. And I think it's good because it's not just saying a prayer rote, which maybe has a place from time to time, but I guess has the danger that you're just saying the words and you're not really thinking about what you're saying. It's not very relational. But it also gives you some structure, and I think that's the other danger in our prayer lives, that if we have no structure, we kind of wander and we kind of lose focus and we start thinking about other things. But if you have the Lord's Prayer as a structure there, you can riff off it and it can help you in your prayer. And so maybe if you've been struggling a bit to concentrate in your prayer time, maybe you've been getting bogged down on the same requests every day, why don't have a go? Take out the Lord's Prayer. Write it down on a bit of paper and have a bit of a riff. Put in your own words. Think about praying for each of these requests in the things that is going on for you and around you. So that's the pattern of prayer that Jesus gives us. But it's not only teaching here about the pattern of prayer in this little section. He also encourages us to be persistent in prayer. And he tells this kind of mini parable here, parable about about going to a friend in the middle of the night and asking them to lend you 3 loaves of bread to feed some unexpected guests. They must have got in on the Virgin midnight flight and you suddenly realize you've got no supper to feed them. And so you go and knock on the door next door. Your friend is understandably unimpressed by the late night intrusion. He's like, nah, mate, the door's shut, children are in bed, can't get up and give you anything. But Jesus says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. I was thinking about this parable, I can kind of get it. Remember one night a few years ago, we did have a knock on the door. It wasn't someone asking for bread, it was someone asking us to please make our dog stop barking. And I have to admit that the shock of being called out for having a barking dog in the middle of the night made me very quickly go and get the dog and shut it in our room and stop it barking. And took a lot of effort after that for the next few months to make sure there were no barking dogs. So I didn't want to be as embarrassing. I didn't want to be the person who was known in the street as having the annoying barking dogs. So I think, we've got to see, if someone knocks on the door in the middle of the night, it's like, wow, it kind of shocks you into action. I think perhaps the tricky thing, though, with this parable is could kind of seem to paint God as the sort of reluctant giver who you kind of need to shock him into action by a persistent prayer. And, he's not that keen to help, but if you really get in there and go hard, then maybe he'll say yes. I think clearly that's not Jesus' point here. He's just told us the way to address God as Father. We're not to address him as a grumpy neighbor. His point is, though, that we are to pray with boldness and urgency and persistence. N.T. Wright says this in his commentary about these verses, says, what counts is persistence. There are all sorts of ways in which God isn't like a sleepy friend, but Jesus is focusing on one point of comparison only. He is encouraging a kind of holy boldness, a sharp knocking on the door, an insistent asking, a search that refuses to give up. That's what our prayer should be like. This isn't just a routine or formal praying, going through the motions as a daily or weekly task. There is a battle on, a fight with the powers of darkness, and those who have glimpsed the light are called to struggle in prayer. Sometimes it is the fact that our prayers can get a little bit mundane, going through the motions. And perhaps more so, we can kind of forget. We lose that urgency and perhaps we don't even pray at all. But Jesus is encouraging us here to come with urgency and persistence. Some of you might have had this experience, but if you haven't, I'm sure you can imagine if you were really sick with a life-threatening illness and there was a medication that you had to take every day. That would save your life, that would provide a cure. How would you treat that medication? You would be fully committed to taking it, wouldn't you? You would have an urgency. You would make sure that you had enough supplies. You would make sure that you had a time every day when you're going to take it. You wouldn't just go, oh, well, I'm a bit tired today. I'm not going to take my medication. Don't really care about it. I think Jesus is encouraging us to have that kind of persistence with prayer, that kind of urgency with prayer, that we realize how important it is. And it's so important, not because God is a grumpy neighbor that you've got to wake up in the middle of the night and try and persuade him to pray. It's so important because God is so willing to give to us when we pray. And Jesus goes on to spell this out in verse 9. He says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be open." When we come and ask, God will hear and act. This isn't a promise that every single thing that we want, God will give us, but it's a reminder that if we don't ask, we're not going to receive. But that if we do ask, we can be 100% confident that God will hear us and God will answer our prayers. And just to reinforce the fact that God is not like a grumpy neighbor in the middle of the night, Jesus reminds us again what he reminded us right at the very start of this section. And that is, when we come to God, we actually come to a loving Father who will give us what we need. Verse 7, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead, or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Sometimes we can kind of think that maybe prayer is only worthwhile if God gives us every single thing that we ask for. I can certainly be tempted to think about that, but when I do, I always remember a book that our kids had when they were growing up. It was called The Very Bad Book by Andy Griffith. I don't know if any of you have read that with your kids. Highly recommended if you have primary school kids. It was full of little stories about bad things, and one of the little bad stories was called Bad Mummy and Daddy and the Volcano. And in the story, this little child is talking to his parents and he says, "Mummy and Daddy, can I go and jump into the volcano?" And Mum and Dad reply, "Oh, I don't know about that. It seems kind of dangerous. Aren't volcanoes full of hot lava and poisonous gases?" But then the little child begs more insistently, "No, Mummy and Daddy, I really want to go and jump in the volcano. Please, please, please let me go and jump in the volcano." And eventually, the bad Mummy and Daddy say, "Well, of course, you can go and jump into the volcano. Have fun." Good parents, they don't give their children everything that they need, do they? It's actually a terrible, terrible parents that let their children do everything that they want to do. Our Heavenly Father is not like that. Our Heavenly Father gives us what is good. Our Heavenly Father gives us what is best. And he knows exactly what we need and will generously look after us. Human parents, we don't always know exactly what our children need, even though we can normally tell that jumping in a volcano isn't a good idea. But our Heavenly Father, he knows perfectly. He made us. He knows everything that we need. And you can see there at the end, Jesus reminds us the most important thing that we need, and the one thing that we can be 100% sure that our Heavenly Father will give us, and that is the gift of his Holy Spirit. If we ask God for his Spirit, he will never say no. He will give us his presence. He'll come and live inside us. He'll come and change us. You'll come and help us live for him. You'll give us the comfort of knowing that we have God with us no matter what is going on in our lives. And I think that this final reminder here, as we finish being reminded that the thing that God really wants to give us, the thing that God guarantees that he will say yes to, is his Holy Spirit. It kind of takes us back to the pattern of prayer which Jesus gave us. Jesus doesn't guarantee that he'll give us the job that we want. He doesn't guarantee that he'll give us the spouse that we want. He doesn't guarantee he will heal us of the sickness that we have. What he does promise is that he will give us his Holy Spirit. He will be with us through whatever we are going through. Of course, we're invited to come and ask him for other things as well. And he will hear and he will answer all of those prayers. But the greatest gift that we can ever have is the gift of the Holy Spirit who comes and lives with us. And so I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you to take up the pattern that is here in the Lord's Prayer and make use of that. Write it out. Take some time each morning or each evening or whatever time of day you can do it and riff off that. Let it shape your prayers. And do it with the great encouragement that prayer is urgent. It's asking God to be active in this world, and what better thing could we be doing? But it's also done with the assurance of God's generosity that he will give us things that are good for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement that you give us to pray. We thank you for the pattern of prayer that broadens our horizons, reminds us to be concerned for your glory in our world as well as our own needs. And we pray that we would make use of this pattern in our prayers as well as many other prayers that are there in the Bible. Lord, thank you too for the prod to be persistent. And we ask that we wouldn't be people who are lazy or disinterested in prayer, but who are urgent to see you at work in our world. And finally, we thank you for the wonderful assurance that you are generous and you give us what is good for us. And we pray that that will as well give us great assurance in prayer, even at those times when perhaps we don't see the answers that we were wanting. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.